Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by SocialMediaExaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I'm really excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Christopher Penn, and we're going to talk about how to measure what's working using Google Analytics. Also, I want to remind you that if you need to reach me, podcast@socialmediaexaminer.com is a way to get directly to my inbox. And with that, I've got a brand new discovery for you.
After introducing a vegetarian diet to piranhas, look what Michael Stelzner discovered.
In the last month or so, Facebook has rolled out a pretty cool feature that is beginning to appear to Facebook pages all over Facebook, and it's called the Facebook Call to Action button. Now, you guys remember way back in the day where Facebook got all snippety about not putting calls to actions inside of your Facebook graphic that's at the top of your page. You weren't allowed to put text in there and so on and so forth. Well, now Facebook has actually come out with a feature that makes it really easy for you to get someone to do a call to action. And what's really cool about this is it actually shows up. Like if you imagine what a Facebook page looks like, you've got your avatar on the left, you've got your huge picture in the background, and then to the right of your avatar, you have the name of your page. Like, for example, Social Media Examiner. Right next to that is a button now that you can turn on called a call to action button. And with the call to action button, you have a limited number of words that you can put in there. For example, you can put book now, contact us, use app, play game, shop now, sign up, watch video. And I'm sure that this list will grow over time. Now, as soon as this thing rolled out in late January, we immediately turned it on. Because in the background on our Facebook page, we've got a big old ad for Social Media Marketing World. So we added a button that says book now. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Nobody ever goes to your Facebook page, right? They only see you in the newsfeed. Well, in literally only a few days, we had 56 people click on that book now button. And we had one sale attributed directly to that book now button for our conference. So for me, that was like a big deal. Because it's just a, it's just a subtle little thing that you can add to your page to encourage someone to take an action. And it's built into Facebook, and it's a little button that hovers right over the top of the big graphic on your Facebook page. So I would strongly recommend you start experimenting with the Facebook call to action button.
Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y, all the way across the spectrum. Every month, we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say. Quote, "I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined," unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
That is my discovery of the week. And with that, let's transition over to today's interview with Christopher Penn.
Helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Christopher Penn. If you don't know who Chris is, he's the VP of Marketing Technology at Shift Communications, a PR firm. He also co-founded PodCamp with Chris Brogan, and he's the co-host of the Marketing Over Coffee podcast. He's got a brand new book out called Marketing Blue Belt, From Data Zero to Marketing Hero. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It is a pleasure to be here.
So today we're going to talk about Google Analytics and analyzing and measuring and all that fun stuff and how it can improve your marketing. Chris, let me start with how in the world did you get into all this data analytics stuff and what's your story?
Well, it's funny. I actually came into the whole marketing space through back door. Back in 2003, I joined a student loan company startup as the director of technology originally. I was like the guy who ran the web server and stuff. And as you know from the startup world, I was the CIO, the CTO, and the guy who cleaned the restroom on Friday. So I ended up having to do a lot of the marketing and a lot of the data collection, and that's I found over time I really enjoyed the marketing more than running the technology. So that's kind of how I transitioned into the space. And a natural outgrowth of that is when you're running the server, you know what you're seeing in the logs, and eventually your stakeholders will be saying, well, you know, what's happening? I need a report on this. And that's really how I got started in analytics. And then as more and more of marketing became digital, more and more of those, you know, asks for reporting and stuff were just on my plate all the time, and that's really where I've come from.
Now, how long have you been doing? When was it when you started all this?
So that was 2003 was when I first started making that transition, and then I really got into social and digital. 2004, late 2004, when podcasting, funny enough, first came out, and it was for us a strategy because the big student loan companies, you know, back then were all these mega banks, and you know, we used to joke that our annual revenues were their cream cheese budgets for meetings. So we had to do something unconventional, and that's how I got into podcasting and social media.
Very cool, very cool. So let's talk about why analysis and analytics and data in particular is so important to marketers these days. Can you kind of give me your high level thoughts on why is it important and why is it so scary, frankly?
You know, I think it's scary to people because it's unknown, and there's a perception around the space that doing analytics in data is difficult and requires a math degree. And I'll say this much. It's kind of like cooking, and I use a lot of cooking analogies in the book. You don't need to be a professional chef to make a decent breakfast, right? You can make, you know, eggs and bacon or whatever, and as long as you follow some basic recipes, you'll probably end up with a decent breakfast. Now, if you want to go be a professional chef at, you know, Chez Panisse, then that's a totally different story. Then, yeah, you should have, you know, a culinary degree and X years of experience. And data and analytics are the same way. If you want to be able to intelligently report on what you're doing, it's relatively easy to get started. There's a relatively low bar of entry. If you want to get to super sophisticated, you know, multi-touch attribution models and all these other things, then yeah, you're probably going to want a statistics background at that point. But that's pretty far down the road. Like so many things in life, it's kind of an 80-20 rule. You'll get at first 80% of the way from just 20% of the techniques in the toolbox. In terms of what's at our fingertips, there's like four, I would call them four layers, particularly for social media. There's four layers of measurement. There's the media layer, which is where you see, you know, social tools and their social analytics about audience reach and engagement and stuff. There's the web layer, which is, you know, after someone's had a conversation with you in social media, you get into they eventually have to do something. Even a brick and mortar store still is going to look to its digital properties for some stuff, if for nothing else than to look to see when people are using the store finder feature on the website. Then the middle layer is your marketing automation layer. And that's where you start tracking your engagement at an individual level. And of course, at the bottom is your sales and CRM layer. And those are kind of the four places that marketers are going to want to have some insight into their data.
So the first two layers, media and web, can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on kind of what that means and what kind of data is out there and maybe get some marketers excited about maybe what's at their fingertips and they don't even realize it when it comes to the media and web layers?
Sure. So the web layer, I'll start from the bottom up. The web layer is the gold standard right now is Google Analytics. And there are other tools out there that do very capable jobs. Omniture comes to mind. WebTrends is in there in the mix. But Google Analytics is really what, you know, I would say 90% of the web uses. And inside of Google Analytics, you can track everything from where your audience is coming from to how you're getting them, what they do on your website, and ultimately whether they take the next set of actions, the conversions that will tell you, oh, you know, this is you know, this person has done that is of value. And the thing about Google Analytics is there's a tremendous amount of data in there. There are probably I would throw a dart at, say, 1,000 different data points that will tell you all kinds of different things depending on whether you ask the right questions. If you jump up one layer to the media layer, particularly social media, there's sort of three categories of metrics that I think are super important for all marketers to understand. The first is audience growth. We will, and a lot of people have said, and even I said in the past, that things like likes and followers and stuff are, you know, don't matter. Well, they actually do matter, but they matter at the very, very top of the funnel. Because, of course, if you have no likes and you have no reach, the rest of the funnel doesn't happen. Where I think the nuance is to say that's not your end goal. You don't want to stop at likes or followers. That's where you want to start. The middle layer of the media section is engagement. It's great if somebody is following you, but are you reaching them? Are you engaging with them? Are they performing the three core social behaviors, which if you look at the bottom of every social post there is, it's like, comment, or share. And there's variations. There's favorite, retweet, and reply on Twitter and so forth. But you want those three core behaviors. And then finally, of course, is the down funnel stuff. How many people took an action on social media to get them to an owned media property, typically your website. So that's kind of those buckets of metrics. You'll get in the media layer, you'll get a lot of those numbers straight out of the social network. You can pull up Facebook Insights or Pinterest Web Analytics or Twitter Analytics. So all those services have that information for you. It's just a question of you collecting it and aggregating it.
You know, it's funny because Social Media Examiner is 5 years and 3 or 4 months old, and it wasn't really until about a year to a year and a half ago that we really started taking a look at some of the deeper metrics that Google Analytics provides, because in the early days it was all about how many comments do we get on a blog post, how many social shares do we get, and create more posts to get more like that, mm-hmm. which is the common mistake everybody makes, right? And then we began to realize, okay, wait a second, we can do this thing called conversion tracking, and we can see what percentage of the people that come to Social Media Examiner sign up for our newsletter, which was one of the key metrics that we wanted to do. And when we started doing conversion tracking, and then we started looking at the posts that were the most popular and saw that they didn't necessarily have the best conversion, it completely like transformed our world. It was almost as if we'd had glasses on, or it's almost like we never had glasses and then we got glasses and all of a sudden everything was clear. I mean, do you find sometimes that's what data can do for people?
If they know what they're looking for, yes, absolutely. So data is the first step. And this is something that's sort of outlined in the book. Measurement and data is the very, very first step on the ladder towards, you know, a strategy. You have to be able then to analyze the data, because what your stakeholders want really is not just the data. Nobody wants you to as Avinash Kashyap so colorfully puts it, nobody wants data to just be puked on them. You need to analyze it, which is the art and science of telling what happened, what happened that you can see in this data. Then you have to derive insights from that, from your analysis, and say, okay, why did those things happen? If Social Media Examiner has, 8 blog posts that are outperforming everything else, okay, you can see what happened, why. What's the common factor among those 8 blog posts? And then once you have that, then you can develop your strategy. You can figure out what to do next. So that's something that is independent of the analytics platform. You get the data, make sure it's clean, understand what happened, understand why, and then be able to decide what comes next.
I've also, we talked about marketing automation a little earlier, and I thought to myself, Google Analytics is so good and so deep and so powerful and so ubiquitous. When they decide to come out, they being Google, with some sort of a HubSpot or Marketo kind of, competitor, I think they would crush everybody. But, I'm just curious, why is Google giving away Google Analytics for free? I mean, are we actually feeding the Google monster? What's your thoughts on this?
We are definitely sending data back to the mothership, whether or not we want, if you use the product, then you are agreeing. If you read the terms of service, you are agreeing to share that information with Google. And you can even take it another level up inside the product. Under the admin section, there is an option to turn on benchmarking, which I would say is probably one of the secret sauces, if to the extent that there's one inside of Google Analytics. You have to agree to share your data with people in your field. It's anonymized and it's randomized, so it's not you. If I wanted to see social media websites, I wouldn't see. And Social Media Examiner has it would blend in with a couple of hundred other websites to be an average, but when you do that and you turn on benchmarking, yes, you share your data, but then you get to see what your peers in that competitive data set are doing with their data. And you can say, okay, well, compared to all social media sites, I'm going to make a number here. Compared to all social media sites with 10,000 visitors a day or more, Social Media Examiner does better at referral traffic than its peers, but it does worse at organic search than its peers. And that gives you an idea of, oh, okay, I can see what happened. I can see why. And now I know what to do against my competitors to either reach parity or jump and take it to the next level.
Huh. How does one go about turning on benchmarking? It's just under the admin tools and it's just an option?
It's an option under the admin tools, and then if you go on the left-hand side, it is under the audience menu near the bottom. It says benchmarking, and you can see by channel, like referral, social, search, and then also by device and by location. So you can see, okay, am I getting less or more mobile traffic than my competitors?
Very cool. What's something simple that any marketer that's listening right now could do with Google Analytics to maybe take their insight to the next level? I'm sure you've got, I know you have a million little secret sauce tricks and tips in your book, but what's something that maybe somebody that is listening right now that might be using Google Analytics but really isn't going deep could do to really begin to understand, more about what's happening with people coming to their website?
The number one thing that anyone can do and really must do is you have to define some goals and goal values in your analytics. That completely changes the application from kind of a here's kind of what happened to this is how it is impacting your business. You mentioned earlier that newsletter signups were a big deal. So that's a goal, getting people to take that action, that commitment to signing up for a newsletter. And then the next level of that is what dollar value do you place on a newsletter sign up? If you know that on average a newsletter participant or subscriber buys $20 worth of Social Media Examiner training materials, well, now you know that the value of that newsletter subscriber. So every time you get a new newsletter subscriber, you say, okay, that's a projected $20 in revenue or $5 in revenue or $1,000 in revenue. Then throughout the application, you will start to see things like estimated revenue of, what's the value of this blog post? What's the value of this page? What's the value of traffic coming from Twitter? What's the value of traffic coming from Google's organic search? And you will have a totally different experience all just by setting up those goals and goal values. If you don't do that, I try not to be too blunt when I'm, coaching folks, particularly newer folks in analytics. But if you don't do goals and goal values, you actually are doing it wrong.
Well, what kind of – okay, so we just mentioned, a newsletter sign up as an obvious goal. What are some other goals that marketers often use just so people can kind of expand their horizon on the kind of things they might want to consider tracking?
Sure. If you have an e-commerce site, your obvious goal is a checkout. Someone has bought something from you, and e-commerce is probably one of the most powerful applications of Google Analytics because it can actually see all the way down the sales funnel because it's all digital. It's all within the click stream. So you have newsletter signups. You have lead generation. I want to download a white paper or a webinar, or I want to send you an RFP. You can manage your forms. Inside of forms, even you can use Google Analytics, some of the more advanced features called event tracking, that if you have a form with, say, 10 fields on it, first name, last name, phone number, and stuff like that, you can actually track how many people fill out each field. And then if you look at your analytics, you can see, oh, well, people always stop at field number 7, right? They never go past that. Why is that? And then you can dig in. I remember back in my student loan days, we used to have an application you could start filling out online, and we used that event tracking to track each field. And sure enough, 80% of people abandoned the form when they got to the field that asked for the social security number. They just were not comfortable with signing up for it on the website. So we knew we could get that but with our sales executives. So we took it off the form, boom, immediately, 80% more conversion.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's...
So how is it really simple? Are there little tutorials out there on how to do this? Is it just a matter of adding a little piece of code to each of the variables in the form or something? I know I'm asking the question that might be having a very complex answer, but...
there are tutorials for that specific feature in the help file, but I would really urge people, before you jump into specific features, you should take the Analytics Academy courses that Google offers completely for free. There's four courses And you should do them in this order. Digital Analytics Fundamentals, which is the first Analytics Academy course. That, if you're not familiar with the platform, this is a good one to understand first. The second one is Google Analytics Platform Principles. This is where you'll learn how the platform itself works. The third one is Mobile App Analytics Fundamentals, and this will teach you a lot about how you measure mobile devices specifically. And if you're going to, either if your company has a mobile app or you're rolling one out, this is important stuff to understand, how you measure mobile and tie it back to your regular visitors. And then the last course is e-commerce analytics, and that is that really digs into the e-com applications. Which, if you're not an e-commerce company, I would still recommend you take that course because there are things that happen on your website that are like e-commerce that you can measure in the same way as e-commerce, even if you're not an e-commerce shop. The example I give is if you have an HR portal on your website. The process of applying for a job is actually fairly close to e-commerce, right? There's things like shopping cart abandonment. There's process abandonment. Okay, I got to submit my resume. I got to fill out these fields and all this stuff. And you can see where in the hiring process online things are starting to break down. So those four courses will give you a solid foundation on the platform overall. And then you can dig into the specific features like event tracking for forms and stuff like that.
When it comes to your personal blog or even your clients, can you give some examples of the kinds of things maybe either you're measuring and analyzing for your own blog, or maybe an example of the kinds of things you're doing for a client or two, whether you can mention their name or not, just to kind of help people like expand their brain on this a little bit and see what some of the cool things you can do with this are?
Yeah, so probably one of the best examples recently is an e-commerce company I worked with that I don't have clearance to mention their name just yet, but they had a great placement in a BuzzFeed article, and this BuzzFeed article was a seasonal, it was a holiday related, and the client got a really good placement of their product in this article. This is on the public relations side. We were able to go into the client's Google Analytics and say, look, this article drove X amount of traffic, and because it's e-commerce, we can track how many purchases were made from the people who read that article. And it turned out it was like $30,000+ just from one article.
Wow.
Which is a huge deal for an e-commerce company that basically sells, low-end consumer stuff. And then we went to them. We said, look, you guys, if you guys want to continue to get some mileage out of this article, I mean, people have really short attention spans these days. Let's run a paid media campaign using AdWords to keep that article in circulation, to keep it in front of people. And we added another $22,000 of revenue on top of that because we were able to use paid media to reinforce the earned media. So that was a really powerful outcome that just using analytics, we could see what was working, and then we could make an immediate recommendation. Okay, you want to keep more eyeballs on this article. Let's syndicate it.
Okay, so just so I understand, you guys actually bought advertising to not your own product, but somebody else's article that referenced your product because you knew it would drive traffic back and ultimately revenue. That's like that's totally out of the box thinking.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, how in the world, I mean, without getting super technical, because I'm sure a lot of people are like, okay, so someone writes an article about one of my products and is linking to my product, I'm guessing. It was at the link that ultimately you were able to track back. Is that how the Google Analytics stuff? Because a lot of people are probably wondering, all right, how did you go from the inbound link from the article to the sale and figure all that stuff out?
Well, from the article, you can see the refer traffic. You can see the direct traffic from the article. It says, X number of people clicked to your website from this article. That's right out of the box in Google Analytics. You'll find that under the acquisition menu under all traffic.
Right.
But then, because we had goals and goal values set up, we were able to look at all the traffic coming to the website and say, look, this one article is generating the right audience that's buying stuff. What else can we do? And that's where we decided, okay, let's do some paid media amplification of that article. Could we have paid to publicize that product directly? Yes, but there is, and this is sort of a tenet of PR. I should probably disclose I work at a PR firm. A tenet of PR is that third-party endorsements mean more. I mean, I wouldn't be talking on this podcast if it didn't mean being able to have you implicitly endorse the book. And so by sponsoring the article, we can see the lift on the article. Here's why. Your average PR hit, like a really good placement, like a BuzzFeed placement, has a half-life of like a day. I mean, people's attention span, they see it, they love it, they talk about it, they share it,
and they move on. Yeah.
They move on. So we established a baseline, you know, 12 or 14 days after the article is out. Okay, here's the residual traffic that's left, right? It's, you know, 25 people a day reading it. Now let's add some money to that, some paid media, and then there's the differential. You know, the next day there were 100 people reading the article. So we know from the last 12 days that 25 people on average read it a day. Now we have 100 people reading it a day. The delta is 75 visitors, and we know the value of each, on a per visitor basis.
That's really cool. So is it really easy inside of Google Analytics to isolate an inbound traffic from a particular source and very easily see the kind of conversions, or is there some extra stuff that you have to do in Google Analytics to get to the actual conversions, or is it just literally like, you know, here's the inbound link and here's the traffic and the conversion is right there and it's very easy to see?
As long as you set up goals and goal values correctly, then gets baked right into the application. The tough part for most people is figuring out what is of value on their websites.
For the bloggers that are listening right now, and I know you're a blogger, what should we be looking at? How should we know if what we're doing is working?
Well, it depends on what you define as working. If you're a blogger, like what are the measures of success for you as a blogger? For me, mailing list signups are important because that's how I drive sales of things like books. But there may be other things. There may be on my personal website, I have a form if you want to book me to speak. I know what my speaking fees are. I know the likelihood I'm going to close a speaking engagement. I can work backwards and say every inquiry to my speaking form is worth X dollars. And then I can go through all my content. And again, the Google Analytics automatically populates this once you put a goal value in, populates with the application. These are the blog posts that have generated you the most inferred revenue because they've generated leads that have gone on to build your business. And so I would say it's more the bloggers deciding what is it that is of value to you. If you are Social Media Examiner, as an example, you guys have a phenomenal trade show. You have a conference. You have training materials, but you also are a media property. So you'd want to you know turn on things like your demographic reporting inside of Google Analytics, so that you can help enhance your media kit to say our audience is average this age, average this gender, from these locations, and has these behavioral characteristics. And are in the market for these services, and so on and so forth. So that stuff is all stuff that's built into Google Analytics as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talked about that because we have turned on that demographic data, and we've compared that against the kind of stuff Facebook, you know, gives us, and it's not exactly the same, but it's intriguing. I mean, have you had a chance to compare kind of demographic insight that Facebook provides fans on Facebook versus what Google Analytics shows on a website, and do you have any thoughts on why they may or may not be different?
So here's a question for you: Facebook fans are not necessarily your audience. They may not be your core audience. What you can do, though, is export your mailing list, import it into Facebook as a custom advertising audience, and then compare the demographics of your advertising audience to your website, because that will do. You'll find much more overlap that way rather than just the random people who hit a like button. Hitting a like button, I mean, your cat can technically do that, so it's not.
I don't have a cat, but you know, I hear you. So that's interesting. I mean, what you just said here is that's another way to get some interesting insight into your audience by just looking at what Facebook knows, right? Because there's things Facebook knows that Google doesn't know, right?
Exactly. So if you can combine the two data sources and you know, process it and put it together into a nice PowerPoint or something, you'll have a really good idea of who your audience is, and then have an idea of what you should be doing next with them.
What's your thoughts on for those of us that have email lists, how do we track when it comes to Google Analytics, the impact of our email list? Because unlike, you know, website links and stuff, it seems to kind of all get classified under a big category, I think, called direct or something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
If you are using an email service provider that does not allow Google Analytics integration, you are using the wrong email service provider. Fire them immediately and use one that does. That's the very, very short version. Because
wow, I wonder if AWeber does that, because I don't even know if we have that turned on. So what you're saying is that you can actually do Google Analytics integration with email. That's huge. I had no clue, frankly.
Oh, yeah. I use one for my personal newsletter. It's a company called What Counts. I actually used to be an employee there. And it's called What Counts Publicaster. And inside, I can tab, I put in my Google Analytics account, and it will automatically populate all of the links I send in an email with the campaign name, which is the subject of the email. So I can actually see in Google Analytics the dollar value of subject lines. Wow. It's absolutely crazy just how when you set up the integration right. And it again, for my particular service provider, it's really easy just to put in your Google Analytics account number, and the platform handles the rest for you.
That's huge. Now, do you recommend using UTM tracking? And maybe we should describe what that is briefly, but do you recommend using UTM tracking inside of emails to be able to maybe, if the email provider does not provide that, maybe we could just encode our links with UTM codes. What are your thoughts on that?
You absolutely can do that, and probably one of the easier ways to do that is just inside of a spreadsheet. If you're not familiar with the term UTM, it actually stands for Urchin Tag Management, because Google Analytics used to be a separate company called Urchin a long time ago. Google bought them out and made their application free, but the history of the nomenclature is still in there. And what you can do with these tags is specify the source, the medium, and the campaign that a link is from. So in an email, you would say the source is from your newsletter, Social Media Examiner newsletter list. The medium is email, and then the campaign is typically whatever the subject line of the campaign is or the day that you're going to send it. That way you can break out and slice and dice the traffic that comes to your properties, but by email. So, for example, if you look at the new book, I use a service on the back end called Gumroad that allows you to input your Google Analytics account code on that service. So now if I send out an email that sends you to my website that then sends you to Gumroad to purchase the book, I can track the stream all the way from that first email open all the way down to the actual purchase and know exactly how well my email converted.
That is really awesome. A lot of people's brains right now are going crazy because I think email is probably the one thing most people don't even think about. Everybody wants to build their email list, but they're probably not tracking it, are they?
They're probably not tracking it, and they're not doing a good job of maintaining it. And email is – granted, I have a bias. I worked in the email marketing industry for 3 or 4 years, dedicated to it. Email is the original social network, right? And it's also the digital glue that holds all this stuff together. Think about it this way. What is the first things that any new social network asks you for? Name, mobile phone number, and your email address, right? Every single network is asking you for that moment you sign up. So email is the common currency of the web. If you are not collecting emails, again, I try not to say this too much, but if you're not collecting email addresses, you're kind of doing it wrong.
Very cool. Google Analytics do they have any like add-ons or like an app ecosystem that can make Google Analytics a little easier to understand, or are there some special third-party tools that we should maybe be considering that might be free or low cost that can maybe take the what appears to be like you're sitting inside of an airplane with a million buttons and simplify it for those of us that maybe aren't totally technical?
So there's a couple of different ways to approach this question. Google Analytics actually has its own dashboard tool built in. So if you wanted to build a dashboard of just the metrics that you wanted to focus on, you can do that. It's a really good way to build an executive dashboard. And it actually, you can in the dashboard schedule it. So you can email a PDF of the dashboard. So if you have, say, a C-level executive who is not super technologically savvy, you can just email them a PDF every Monday and they can just look at it and go, oh, these are the metrics that I wanted to see. And that really simplifies things. That's built into the application. There's what's called an app gallery where you can find all these different add-ons to the application. But I find a lot of those are for more advanced users. The one app I think is really compelling is there's one for their Google spreadsheet product called the Analytics add-on that allows you to bring in live Google Analytics data into a spreadsheet. So this is really handy. So if you operated a couple of different websites, say, just for example, so we had Social Media Examiner and Social Media Marketing World, you can right now you have to go to two different Google Analytics accounts to see the analytics on both of them. With this add-on, you can build a unified, all my digital properties dashboard inside of a Google spreadsheet that brings in all the data from all the different accounts for the metrics you care about and have everything in one-stop shopping.
And it's automatically, right? You don't have to do anything. It just updates that on the fly kind of thing?
Yeah. Once you plug it in and configure it, then it just brings in everything automatically and you have all your reports in one spot.
Wow.
And it's free.
That is so cool. Now, what was that called again?
That's called the Google Analytics add-on for Google Spreadsheets.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Chris, I know that we've just scratched the surface of what can be done with measuring and analyzing and tracking things. And having read your book, I want to make a strong endorsement. This book is very, very valuable. You can find it just about anywhere, but why don't you tell everybody where they can find Marketing Blue Belt from Data Zero to Data Marketing Hero. Did I say that right? No, I'm sorry. Marketing Blue Belt from Data Hero to Marketing... From data, it's a tongue twister. Marketing Blue Belt from Data Zero to Marketing Hero. Okay, got it. Where can they find that, Chris? And where can they find more about you?
So the book will make it easy. Go to marketingbluebelt.com. And for me, if you want to find out more information about me, you can find me at christophersspenn.com.
And that's P-E-N-N.
Yes.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of that interview. If there's anything that we mentioned in today's show and you just didn't catch it because you're out on the move or on the go, well, don't worry. We take very detailed notes for you. And you can reach our show notes at socialmediaexaminer.com/133, which stands for episode 133. If you're new to the show, hit that subscribe button and make sure you never miss a future episode of the podcast. It's totally free. Also, if you've not already done so, would you consider giving us a rating and or a review on iTunes? The reason we ask for it every week is because it does help us get discovered by new people inside of iTunes, or so we think. The easiest way to do this is to visit socialmediaexaminer.com/iTunes. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.